This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله رب العالمين Always and forever we begin by praising Allah نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله There is none worthy of worship besides the one and the only the unique Allah سبحانه وتعالى the creator of the universe And we send our love and greetings our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم To all the Anbiya all the prophets throughout time And to the pious and pure families of the Anbiya and the followers May Allah make them amongst them till the day of Qiyamah آمين والحمد لله Allah سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran ولا تستوي الحسنة ولا السيئة That good and evil are not the same Good will always over, will always compel, will always defeat evil. ادفع بالتي هي أحسن. But when you respond to evil, when you are confronted with evil, whether someone says something, does something to you, respond بالتي هي أحسن. Respond with a better way. We don't do one wrong with another wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. Allah says, when someone does something against you, respond in a better way. And then Allah says, when you do that, You will find الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً You will find that the one that you have enmity with, the one that is fighting with you, inshallah, Allah says you might find when you respond to this enemy in a good way, كَانَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ He might become a close friend to you. He might actually soften and open up to you. This is the Quran, subhanAllah. The Quran says that you should try as best you can with those who come and resist you. Respond in a good way so that they can be some kind of friendship. And Allah says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا لِنَا صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ أَذِيمٍ And Allah says, no one can do this. Nobody can respond when you have been harmed with goodness and kindness except a person with tremendous amount of patience, tremendous amounts of forbearance, and someone who Allah has given you a great fortune. In the sense, Allah has really elevated you. Someone with a great enlightenment. Ibn Abbas comments on this. And he says, Allah commands the believers to be patient when they feel angry, to be forbearing when they are confronted, when they are harmed. When ignorance it comes to them, they should forgive. And when they are mistreated. And if they do this, Allah will save them from shaitan. And Allah will also subdue your enemies and make them become friends, make them allies. I mentioned this hadith, this ayah, because last week something crazy happened. I gave my khutbah like any other week, usually get about 500, 400 views. It went viral, 210,000 views. And never experienced this before. Allah, I still don't know why, the algorithm, what happened with the algorithm, some glitch. And for the first time, many, many non-Muslims listened to the khutbah and they commented. And for the first time, I got an insight into what they're thinking. Now, these are people who are also very passionate about Palestine. Of course, they are supportive of Israel. And they put down some comments are hurtful. Some comments are misguided or ignorant. Some comments were genuinely confused. And from their paradigm, we are on the side of God. We are on the side of the good guys. So no matter what they do, they're the good guys and you are the bad guys. That is their understanding. And when you've already made the conclusion that this is the hero and that is the villain, then whatever the hero does, he's the good guy. No matter how many people Superman beats up, well, they were bad guys. So today, inshallah, this khutbah is to address those open-minded people who don't know much about the Islamic side of things. They don't see what we see. And we want to share our paradigm with them so we can have a dialogue. Of course, they are closed-minded people and they are people that are genuinely wanting war and conflict. And that group, there's nothing that we can do except we resist oppression. So to the non-Muslims who want to understand or want to enter this dialogue and listening to some of their comments, I want to mention as a Muslim, I want to address your fears. So the first thing that I found very strange was the comments that was made, but your Allah and my God are two different gods. And so therefore I need to support my God against your God. Brother, sister, there's only one God. There's only one creator. You don't like the term Allah? Let's use the word Al-Khaliq, the creator. The one who made you, made me, made the Jews, made the Christians, made the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, the ants, is the same one. And he is one unique, he has no partner. We all agree on that. And so this is not a war between two rivaling gods. There's only one God. And we are all the creations of God, and we all return to him, and he will judge our deeds. That is what we all believe, whatever religion you follow. And we as Muslims, you'd find the comments that we have to support this side because they are at the front line. If this tiny entity of Israel is overpowered by this Muslim armies, they will conquer the world. And they want to rule the world, and they want to dominate all religions. That's not our objective. We as a Muslim minority, we've been living here in South Africa as a minority amongst non-Muslims for 400 years, peacefully. We live with non-Muslim neighbors daily, we interact with them, and we live side by side in a very peaceful manner. We as Muslims are not looking to conquer the world and overpower all religions. And we don't only say this lip service. We have 1,500 years of evidence to prove that. In today, in Jerusalem, in Palestine, the oldest churches and the most sacred churches in the world still stand. Who watched over them for the last 1,500 Muslims? Muslims ruled it until Israel was established in 1948. These churches were under our protection. And it has not been harmed or damaged. There are Muslim minorities throughout the world. They have not been forced to convert. So there is no agenda or objective that we keep hidden. We look to convert the world. And wallahi, like any other people in the world, whether you're Palestinian, Israeli, South African, Malay, whatever, we all want to live in peace. We all want to go to work. Okay, we want to go on holiday actually, but we all want to go and live peacefully, raise our kids, wake up in the morning safe and sound, be healthy. Every person on earth wants that. And we want the same, and we want the same for you, subhanAllah. We want to see that your kids prosper and that you live peacefully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also then honors and elevates the people of the book, the Christians and the Jews. If you are a Christian and a Jew and you listen to this lecture, know that you have a very, very high and special place in our religion. That you are referred to as Ahlul Kitab, the people of scripture, the people that have a revelation, a legacy. Allah says, not all of the Ahlul Kitab are the same. From them, ummatan qa'imatun yatluna ayati Allah ana al-layl. You find Allah says, there are people that are Jewish and Christian. They are up at night late, worshipping and praying to Allah. Wa hum yasjudun. And they are prostrating, worshipping Allah. Yu'minuna billah. They deeply believe in Allah the Creator. When we say Allah, we mean the Creator of the universe. Wal yawm al-akhir. And they are believers in the Day of Judgment. Wa ya'muruna bil ma'roof. And they genuinely want to command what is good. Wa yanhawna anil munkar. And they stand out against what is evil. Wa yusari'una fil khayrat. And they are very eager to do good, to help people, to be good to their neighbors. Ula'ika min as-salihin. Allah says, these people are good people. This is what our scripture says. And so, you should not fear us. And we should not see us as the outsider. If you begin with that mindset, that you guys have an agenda, and you guys are an enemy, then all dialogue ends there. Have an open mind, that we are not here to harm or kill anybody. We are here, and this is not even a religious thing. This is a humanitarian thing we're talking about. We can even go a step further, and this is more for our maybe our Jewish friends and neighbors. We can acknowledge your pain. In a conflict like this, there's not two sides to a story. Very clear. There's one in our perspective. There is one side that is being oppressed, one side that is a victim, but the other side also has certain points. And being an open mind, even as a Muslim, we have to be acknowledging, at least understanding from what side you come from. And so for the Bani Israel and for the Jewish people, we can acknowledge your pain. Even if we're at war with you, we're currently at war, we can still acknowledge that you have certain points. For example, Allah says that they are a people yastad'ifuna fil ard, that they are a people that have been oppressed throughout the land. And without a doubt, the Bani Israel, the Jews, the Israelites, have been perhaps the most persecuted minority in the history of mankind. You look at through history being pushed from one country to the next, one group of people committing genocide against them. And so we acknowledge that this is a very persecuted group of people. They have always been a minority, wherever they've been. They've always been a tiny minority around a very hostile environment. And we therefore are of the first people to oppose anti-Semitism. We understand and believe that their long history is mentioned in our books, and that no people should be persecuted based on their religion or their culture. There came news that, you know, a Jewish school here in Cape Town, there was a bomb threat. And we should be the first to speak out against that. We completely condemn that. We condemn any synagogue that is defaced, any Jewish person that feels unsafe to practice their religion. This is something against our religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not call for this. And we stand out against anti-Semitism as we stand out against Islamophobia. We acknowledge that in the last 100 years, perhaps the greatest calamity to befall a people was the Holocaust. No people was, you know, had a crime committed against them like the Holocaust was committed against the Jewish people. We acknowledge this. And we say that this was a great catastrophe to all of mankind. And we can therefore also acknowledge, we can even go one step further and saying, if the Jews require a homeland where they can practice the religion freely, surely they should be entitled to do so. That we can understand that. Every person, every religion should have a place that they can practice freely. And that we can sympathize with your dead. Your dead children, we don't see them as Israeli dead children. All dead children are a calamity. So now that I've addressed your fears and I've acknowledged your pain, can you recognize our pain? Can you see where we are coming from? Can you understand how we feel? If you are a Palestinian, I want to put yourself in the shoes of a Palestinian. You've been living on this land your whole life. All your ancestors, as far back as you can mention, have lived on this land. The homes, everything, the plants, the trees that have been there for 500 years, the olive trees. Your great-great-grandparents planted those plantations. And within your generation, from your grandparents to you, you've seen that 80% of your land was gifted away, taken away from you by people in Europe. That a British government signed it away on paper to another third party. Understand how you would feel. Understand if someone came to your house and said, 80% of your property must go to someone else who lived here maybe 5,000 years ago. How would you feel about that? Leave the right or wrong about it. Leave your bias. How would you feel and how would you respond? How do you, if you're a Palestinian, you have three options. You're either one of the 6 million Palestinian refugees across the world. So when the state of Israel was established, the land was cleared of the people. Villages were removed. This is known. This is not propaganda. This is fact. That villages were cleared. Where did those people go? They were pushed out to other parts of the world. So now you have 6 million Palestinians living all across the world in refugee camps in certain countries, and they can never return to Palestine. They still have the keys of their homes that they left. And yet if you are a Jewish person born in Brooklyn or New York, and you feel like you want to go to Israel, you have an entitlement to that land. How is this fair or right? That someone who lived there their whole life, their grandparents have lived there for centuries, have no right to claim to the land, yet someone who has absolutely no immediate link to the land, they may come and go as they please. That's the one group of Palestinians. The other group are those Palestinians who live in the West Bank. These are 3 million Palestinians living under occupation. And that's why it's called the occupied West Bank, not by us, by the world. Because there's a military, a foreign military who controls how you come, where you go. When you need to move from your house to your mom's house, you need to show a permit. Everything gets checked. Your home, the army can enter as they please without any warrant. You're constantly living under surveillance. So you have that option as a Palestinian. And then of course the worst of the worst is if you find yourself in Gaza, which is completely, as we know, blockaded, locked up. Not our words, but this is the words of the world, that it is the most unlivable place on earth. It is literally hell on earth. 1 million children live in a land, live in a little tiny area where the water is not fit for human consumption, where there's unemployment of 75%, where electricity is controlled by an external party. So can you acknowledge the pain of the Palestinians? Can you acknowledge that they had not committed the Holocaust? They did not kill any Jews. They did not cause any pogroms. Why are they suffering? Why are they paying the price for European anti-Semitism? So can you, as much as we condemn terrorism, yes, we condemn any woman that is raped or any child that was murdered, but then can you also condemn if a child is bombed and it's a Palestinian child? Can you also condemn that no God on earth would allow you to starve 1 million children, to deprive them of water? Can you also feel that it is wrong to shower bombs on homes, on schools, on churches, on hospitals? Surely something of you must say that's not right. And how would you respond if you were in that situation? How would you respond if you grew up and you saw that your grandparents told you, you know, our village was overrun. Our plantations were taken. Some of us were killed. Some of us were pushed out into Jordan. For those of us here in Gaza, our only focus is I need to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning to get the A truck. Because if I don't stand in the queue early enough, I'm not going to have my bread for the day. And you go out and you queue for that bread and you come home and you find your home has been bombed. Your relatives are dead. How would you respond? What is the human response to that? What does that child, that 10-year-old child growing up, what do you think he's going to do? So while we talk about violence and terrorism, we need to ask, what is the root cause and what leads to that? And even if you still maintain, you know what, these are my guys because they follow a religion which I'm closer to, or they look similar to me, then I ask you, what is your solution for the Palestinian people? What should happen to the 5 million Palestinians in the land? Should they really just disappear? Is it they should be completely exterminated? What is your answer? And you can see the rhetoric from the Israeli government. This is not our words, this is the words of the Israeli government, that they have decided what needs to be done. You find the security minister, he says, we are fighting human animals and we will deal with them accordingly. This is not, in their minds, a fight between people. It is between a superior race and animals. Or you have the justice minister, subhanAllah, the justice minister. They are all, meaning all Gazans, all Palestinians are enemies. Their mothers should go like them. As well, we should kill their mothers, their homes in which they raise those snakes. That's what she calls Palestinian children. Otherwise, more little snakes will be raised. What is so horrifying to understand that the entire Palestinian population is an enemy? If you have this mindset of a them and a us, we are the good guys, you're the bad guys, this is the route to genocide. It means you see every Palestinian child as an enemy. Every single Palestinian old woman is a terrorist. If that is your mindset, then this is how we get the next Holocaust. This is how, this is exactly the same thinking of Hitler and the Rwandan genocide. You find, subhanAllah, this minister of heritage, he says that there's no such thing as an innocent person in Gaza. When he was talking about, do you think we should drop a nuke on Gaza? He said, I think we should do that because everyone there is complicit. These are not, you know, terrorist organizations we're talking about, crazy people. These are ministers in the cabinet of a government which you claim to be a Western democracy. Subhanallah. So this is, and these, I mean, I'm not making it up, you can Google these things. So I ask any morally guided person, even if you are the biggest supporter of Israel for whatever reason, surely you cannot condone these statements. And if you do, you need to check your heart. There's something wrong with you. And hatred will make you do crazy things. The most terrible scorecard we have now is we have a competition between our dead children versus yours. You know, in Sea Point, there was a people put up a pictures of all the dead Israeli children. And I was in a chat group with imams, and they said, we should take this down, or we should ban these things. My thought was, why do we want to ban the showing of dead children, whether it's a Muslim or Israeli? Have we become so blinded in our hatred that your pain, your children mean nothing? Should it not be that we should have one placard of all the dead children? Because, wallahi, none of these children are guilty. Whether you're Jewish, Muslim, Israeli, Hindu, whatever. This is something which all sane-minded people before this conflict have asked you. Is it okay to kill a Palestinian child? You'd say no. Is it okay to kill an Israeli child? You'd have said no. Why then, when we see this, we want to remove it? The scorecard of death has nothing to do with God, the Creator, the Most Merciful. And so Allah says to us, now to our Muslim audience, no matter how angry you feel, no matter how justified your cause, no matter how big of a victim we are, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O people, if you have iman, كُونُوا قَوَّمِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَى. Be truthful to Allah and your testimony to Allah بالقسط. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Do not let your hatred. Yes, you feel angry. Yes, you have a reason to feel angry. Yes, you've been victimized. Let not your hatred of another people lead you to commit injustice. Just because you are angry and you've been the victim, it gives, Allah does not give you the green light to hurt other someone else unjustly. Allah says, اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Always be just, because this will lead you to Allah. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And always remember Allah, be conscious of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ مَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah knows what you are doing. Allah knows what you see. Allah knows the plans that you make. Allah knows the bombs that you drop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware. Follow justice. Now, and this is the same, subhanAllah, I say this to our Christian friends and neighbors. You talk about the land. In the Bible, the Almighty says, follow justice and be just completely, justice alone, so that you may live and possess the land. If you want to be, the person who wants to rule that land must be a people of justice. That's the condition he made. He made a condition that if you want to rule that land, you must be a people of justice. So let us, if we cannot agree on what should happen in Palestine, if we cannot agree on a religion, let us at least agree as people, as humans, that every person on earth, irrespective of their color and their religion, they should live a dignified, peaceful life in security. Every person deserves this. That no person should be oppressed by another. And that no religion Whatever religion you follow would never allow you to steal the land of your neighbor. And no moral justification, no matter how much you have been victimized, how much you've been hurt, you can never, ever deny children of food, water, and medicine. No, if your religion allows you to do that, there's something wrong with your religion. And no merciful God would allow you to kill children. If that is what your religion calls for, then there's something wrong with your religion. I end off with a few statements of the greatest rabbi in the history of the world. His name is Musa Maimonides. The greatest Moses is Moses. They call him Rambam. I'll talk a bit about this man. He says, all the evils that men cause to each other, whether it is because of desire or difference of opinions or religion, is rooted in ignorance. Who is this man? This man was born in Andalusia, Islamic Spain. And he had spoke Arabic. And he learned. He's the greatest rabbi in the history of Judaism. And he learned and he studied within Islamic Spain, Muslim Spain. Eventually, the situation changed in Spain and he came to the Middle East. And he was a practicing doctor while being a rabbi. And you know who he was? He was the chief physician of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. The man who would treat Salahuddin and get him ready to fight the Crusaders was a Jewish rabbi, not any rabbi, the greatest rabbi on earth. This shows you our people have a long history in that land of living side by side, fighting against oppressions. The last quote from Rambam, he says, I will destroy all my enemies by converting them into my friends. And I make dua that all people that are of like-minded, that have humanity, will join us against injustice, whether it be against ourselves or those who look like us, who follow our religion. What is wrong is wrong. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us. Ameen. There's a march tomorrow, inshallah. We call everyone of Cape Town to join the march, inshallah, tomorrow. It'll be at 12 o'clock. Inshallah, we'll share the details. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sahbihi salam ursaneen. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.